Congress is considering a new aid package for Ukraine tonight, including an additional $40 billion in weaponry and economic and humanitarian assistance. This comes as top intelligence officials told senators today that Russia's President Putin is aiming for a longer, wider war, not just in the eastern Donbass, but with further flashpoints along Ukraine's southern coast. National Intelligence Director Avril Haines warned that such plans could push the conflict down a devastating new path.
The uncertain nature of the battle, which is developing into a war of attrition, combined with the reality that Putin faces a mismatch between his ambitions and Russia's current conventional military capabilities, likely means the next few months could see us moving along a more unpredictable and potentially escalatory trajectory.
Haines added that Putin seems to be counting on Western resolve to weaken over time. Also today, the Ukrainian government announced that Russia is withdrawing some, if not all, of its troops from the northeastern region around Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city and a crucial base for its military. The announcement comes after Ukrainian soldiers recently recaptured towns, including one east of the city, where Nick Schifrin reports tonight.
East of Kharkiv, Ukrainian soldiers are pushing forward. They patrol an area recently liberated from Russian troops, and now they're preparing for a counterattack. They build defensive positions, foxholes that will be linked to make a new line of trenches, made confident by recent success.
What is the threat from the Russians in this location?
Mostly it's the artillery and the artillery mortars. Also, this could be like a small recce groups, but like we're ready to engage.
Captain Jan Fitra's mission is to prevent Russian troops from moving through here south to the Donbass. Last week, they came under fire by Russian cluster bombs.
One of our soldiers died during the attack. Our medics tried to help him, but he was dead before the body hit the ground. Before we could take his body away, me and a few soldiers just spent a couple hours with his body, in that area.
Those woods in the front of us, they're shooting at us from there.
We first met then-Lieutenant Fitra in 2016 on the front line in eastern Ukraine, faced off against Russian-backed separatists.
How's your leg?
Could be better.
We met him again this past March, after he was shot through the leg defending Kyiv.
First 2 weeks when I was at the unit, I barely could walk, but I was working on it, and you see, I'm good right now.
Why or how are the Ukrainian forces around Kharkiv gaining such success right now?
Mostly the Russians are using right now mixed units. They're not organized, and that gives us more bigger opportunity to push them back. They don't calculate the fire, and our artillery, they can find the positions, calculate the fire, and just destroy their positions.
His men are a company in Ukraine's International Legion. They're all foreigners who write messages in their RPGs to the Russians they target and are paid and armed by the Ukrainian government. Some have faced combat, but never against a modern military. Steve is from Washington State.
There are a number of us here who've been in plenty of gunfights before, and we all said the same thing. Getting into a gunfight with another human being is a different animal. Here, there's no fighting back against death that falls from above.
How long will you stay?
As long as it takes. I'm here until we win.
You have two triggers.
They're just learning how to use the American anti-tank weapon, the Javelin. So effective because it can be used from cover quickly.
Fire, forget it, and that's all.
That's allowed Ukrainian soldiers to destroy hundreds of Russian tanks. They refer to this as a lollipop, the shape of a turret blown off the tank body. This is another village, Maloruhan, liberated a month ago. Today, Ukraine fires artillery from nearby, but hasn't cleaned up abandoned Russian barracks with discarded Russian uniforms and even Russian borscht. The fields that residents used to till, the final resting place for a Russian helicopter. 81 years ago, the Nazis occupied Maloruhan. 2 months ago, the Russians occupied and tried to convince these villagers to go with them to Russia, including 48-year-old Oksana.
Why did you refuse their offer to go to Russia?
I don't know. I had a bad feeling because I didn't believe that Ukrainians would reach Russia without an incident. I didn't trust the Russians that I would be safe.
Do you ever get used to the sound?
No,
нет.
She walks me through the village past a destroyed car. You can still see the tracks of the tank that ran it over.
So what happened here?
She says a cluster bomb landed right outside their house, throwing shrapnel at the front door. She stayed, despite her husband's wanting to leave, because of her cats. They bear the wounds of this war, as do families that once considered themselves cross-border. Oksana was born in Russia and moved to Ukraine when she was 12.
I feel sorry for the Russians who did this to us. No one will respect them after what they have done. Even though I'm Russian myself, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Something feels wrong in my soul.
For weeks, Russia used Mala Rohan to bombard Kharkiv, just 12 miles to the west. The fiercest fighting in this area took place in a village up the road, Vilhivka.
8,000 people used to live here. Now it is no more than 50. And even though the major fighting ended weeks ago, this place is a ghost town. There is literally nobody out on the streets, and parts of this village still smell acrid. You could still smell the war.
The Russian army didn't bother to pick up their dead. Dozens of homes took direct hits from Russian artillery. And in the street, leftover Russian munitions, just a few feet from the colored tires that outline a playground. In this village in ruins, we found Alexander. He grew up here and said he would never leave, no matter what.
What is life like here today? Is there any food? Is there any water?
Water? What water? Water, gas, electricity? The wires have been cut. What are you talking about? Food is scarce. Some people go to the city, some people share their food. Humanity is being tested.
So what happened here?
Down the road, Yaroslav Boderev shows me what used to be the back of his friend's home, blown out by an artillery shell just 2 weeks ago.
When the fighting was very heavy, people were hiding in the basements and had to take all their food with them. And at some point, I was living on the street, all by myself.
He's living here now, despite the damage, and he too vows to never leave.
I never could understand how people could live in Syria. They've had war for many years, and people just go about their lives. The same for us here. We got used to it. And now, when it's quiet, I have this strange feeling that something is missing.
A lot is missing here, including the children who used to fill the village's only school, now bombed and burned. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin in Vilhivka.
And a reminder that our coverage of Ukraine is supported in partnership with the Pulitzer Center.